that in order for the tzaddikim to be able to fulfill that function towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have to be speaking on behalf of Klal Yisrael. There's Mamore Chazal, when there were Nevi'im, including Moshe Rabbeinu himself, that didn't have interaction, as it were, B'tayrus Nevuah, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Klal Yisrael weren't holding on a certain level. In order for the tzaddikim, as it were, to be effective towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have to be representing the nation. For them to represent the nation, to be able to give Terechach, it has to be that the people are subscribed to the tzaddikim. We have a relationship with the tzaddikim, and we said that that's through amuna. So if there's not going to be amuna, so then there's going to be a kilkel in the raglan. So even though we're talking, we said it in terms of two different chaysamos. One is the chaysam raglan, and one is outside of that, is the amuna and the relationship with the tzaddikim. When there's no relationship with the tzaddikim, then the chaysam yadayim, then the chaysam raglaim is also going to be messed up. Once that chaysam is messed up, then rachmana litzlan, it could be that the gzar din is going to turn into a din achzari, because we said that this gzar din, this energy in the world, it's not going to be under wraps, but it'll be available for the negative forces to be yoynek, and it could turn into a negative din. V'nasa mechoysam dam nidas, the same gematria of choysam and nidas, that instead of being a choysam, keeping the din, that there could potentially be a miduk, it's mituk, then it's going to turn into nidas, the same gematria is banished. It's going to turn into machleikis and geula. Where is there going to be tzaddikim bring shalom into the world? Shalom between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If everybody, even if everybody's different and has, you know, different immediate, let's say, priorities, when everybody's part of the same system, everybody is becoming a kli to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're trying to make a dira b'tachtainim, we're all trying to use our strengths, we're standing around a circle, all looking towards the middle, so then everything be'etzem comes together, and the tzaddikim brings that together. We said, I think, in Torah Beis, that everybody brought their part to the Mishkan, but the Shekhinah didn't dwell in the Mishkan until Moshe Rabbeinu assembled it and brought it together into one structure. When everybody, you know, gaiva, yeah, everybody says, I'm doing a p'tayrus avoda, but everybody wants to express themselves, I guess you could say, on the Amleich. Right, I want to be a different conversation, but it's an expression of myself. I want to be the Bailim on my Avoda. So at that point, then there's going to be Machlaikas, and there's going to be Gullus, and the Tzaddikim are not going to be able to bring that Shalom, and it's going to be represented in Nidas. Vizeh Misana Uchma, that's why it's a black shoe, Shiniskalkel Haraglin Vinasa Nidas ki Haishachar Adamhu. Halachically, there's a discussion when something is considered dam, when something is considered blood. Blood is bad, some red, there's different shades of blood. And it says in the Gemara that black is also indicative that it could be blood. How could black be blood? Because red blood that has a kilkel in it, so that turns black. So over here, interestingly, how is he showing a kilkel in the raglin? Because the raglin is representative of shoes, and really you would say that choysim turns nidas, and nidas is blood, so maybe he should have been wearing red shoes, but when there's a kilkel in the red, then that red turns black, and that's how we see it work, it's expressed by the Gemara. V'zeh nasa yidei kilkel ha'amuna, because even though really we're talking about choysim raglin, which is one seal, but we said that in order for there to be a choysim raglin, where the tzaddikim bring together the shalom to avoid the effect of the gzeira, so that the tzaddikim could represent Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give techacha to Klal Yisrael and leave the gzeira din under wraps so that it won't become destructive. But in order, there has to be a muna, there has to be a relationship between the Klal Yisrael and the tzaddikim in order for that to work. And where the amun is broken, we're going to see mela. It's automatic. There's going to be a chaysim in the raglan as well. Chas v'shalom. Ikar hi amuna kamavur lamala shal yidei kilkel amuna shu bechi. When there's no amunah, there's no relationship between Klal Yisrael and Tzaddikim, niskalkam meila, it happens automatically. It leads to a chaysim raglin. It's impossible for the chaysim raglin to stay intact, for the Tzaddikim to bring the shalom between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to leave the gzar din under wraps. In order for them to do that accurately, to bring shalom and not to just bring machlekes and pirud, it has to be that the tzaddikim are really leading Klal Yisrael, as it were, and there's this relationship there, and they bring Klal Yisrael together, ki ikar hu ha'amuna kanal, because the ikar is the amuna. Amulei, they said to him, Yichashiv atlis abulei, are you so chashiv that you're able to be ma'atnis abul on Yerushalayim? You're expressing avelus. But if a person is not holding there, so then their avelus is not really an expression of the feeling that they're lacking equilibrium as an expression of their appreciation for what Yerushalayim is, that something's now missing from relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Really what it is I'm holding on such a level, they're not showing that they're lacking, they're actually trying to build themselves up into what? Our only godless is our attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person's building themselves up separately because I'm chashiv, what I'm really doing is separating separating myself chas v'shalom from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so that's a katnus. If I'm trying to build myself up, who am I? Relating to Kaddish Baruch Hu, my only value proposition, my significance, is that I'm attached to Kaddish Baruch Hu. I'm separating myself because I say I'm good. So then I'm be'etzem nothing. Haini shechashdu sheyesh loy godless. They thought that he had gaiva. V'al kein, the opposite. Al yoducha miskalkal araglin. If what you're engaging in is godless, so to speak, in gaiva, and separating up yourself from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the opposite of emuna, so then your expression of avelis of Yerushalayim is not only not effective to bring back Yerushalayim, you're the one, chas v'shalom, who's actually causing that there should be, that there should be gullus, etc. Bebechinas altivo eni regal gaiva. It's a pasuk. Let not the foot of the gaivadik come to me. So if gaiva is a bechinas of, we see the first of all, gaiva is a bechina of regel. Kelide godlessness kalkalu haraglin. So the opposite. Now we see that if gaiva is also associated with regel, but now over here it's causing a kilkel on the regel, a kilkel on the chaysim raglin. It's causing the gullus, the opposite of shalom. It's causing the period and the gerish, the chaysim to become nidas. The bechinas kolam is goya kiilu doichek ragle hashchina. So he quotes over here the parparas chacham says gever yahir, a person who's gaivadik v'lo yinveh, won't come to neveh kachecha, and the opposite, nehalta v'azcha, we talked about the azus kedusha of the tzaddikim, when we're led by the tzaddikim, and neveh kachecha, this brings us to neveh kachecha. So the gaiva, versus the anava, this batlas to the tzaddikim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is what brings us towards Yushalayim, Kirya, Ne'amana, the Amuna leads us there, as opposed to the yarus, the gaiva, that's what's v'lo yinveh, that keeps us away. Now, this fits with everything we're talking about. The anava, how did we look at simcha? We talked about simcha as a function of expansion, of getting greater than myself, of not being limited by my own limitation, by, you know, my own perception of myself, my own individuality and independence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we're looking at it, is that the anava brings to simcha, we said that brings to Torah and Tefillah, brings to Azaz HaKadusha, which allows us to cut through all of the noise and attach ourselves to the tzaddikim, which brings the outer seal, which protects the inner seal, and that amuna is what brings us to be mevatel gzeiros, as opposed to gaiva, which causes pirud. I'm just going to mention one idea, an unbelievable idea that I saw, you know, as we discuss Klal Yisrael's relationship with the tzaddikim. We talked about Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. We talked about purifying the kli, purifying the guf through the neshama, the relationship between the guf and the neshama, and the idea of whether a kli views itself, as it were, as being an independent entity, or understanding a kli by virtue of its function, that it's godless, its identity only comes when it's servicing whatever's inside the kli, that the guf takes on its identity, it's purified, and it takes on its own chashivas when the guf is the merkava of the neshama. And over here, talking about that in the context of Yerushalayim, Kiryas Ne'amana, not being doichik, the Raglei Hashchina, coming to Neveh Chadshecha, bringing the Geula, bringing back Yerushalayim, there's a sefer called Shari Avodas HaYichud, was put out by one of Ravitchi Meir's Talmidim. It's Miyusid Melukad of Misifrei Rabbeinu Aaron HaLevi Mishrashala. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Sefer Sarad Kach Lavracha, who is one of the Talmidim of the Balatanya. And I'm just going to quote a small piece, but it relates directly to this idea. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He brings from the Eitz Chaim. He says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Kidei lahetiv lebruav, v'yakiru gedulaso, v'yizgul yos merkava lemala. To be mative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mative to the bruim, that we should be, obviously the language is very hard, but that we should be makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be merit through this, that we should be a merkava. In simple language, what's a merkava? What's a chariot? A person is driving a chariot. A person is driving a truck. A person doesn't say that the truck is driving and I'm leading it. Whatever. If the truck is a function of the driver. I only speak in reference of the driver. Where are you driving? I don't talk about the merkava. The idea is that a person should not have an independent idea. I want what I want, and I am willing to take what I want, and I will do avoda. I will do mitzvahs. No, that a person becomes an expression. He becomes a vehicle, as it were, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says the avos hein hein emarkava, that they were mevatel themselves tamid el yichudo, and the highest expression of this is that Moshe Rabbeinu was mevatel his metzias. So, you know, going back to our example, if there's who I am and what I do. If who am I, ishkafi mahalo, a person is their understanding of the world, their vision, their hopes, their dreams, their understanding, their machshava. So I can have my own understanding based on my experience, my knowledge base, and I can evaluate what you say, and I can recognize that what you say is true. Or I can say that that's not just what I do. It's not that I'm me and I'm relating to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. If I understand, I totally align. My priorities are truly a Kaddish Baruch Hu's priorities. My understanding of truth itself, my vision of the world is a Tyredic view of the world. I make myself into a Merkava. Now the others, the Tzadikim, Hein Hein Amarkava, even the Sicha Kala, even the Sicha Schulin rather of Tzadikim, you can learn things from, because even when a Tzadik, when a person's on this level, not just when they're necessarily learning Torah and doing mitzvahs and they're applying their knowledge to something that's, so to speak, ruchnius. When they're looking at the world, they're looking through Torah-dic eyes, they mamish see the world. Even their sichas chulin is a Torah outlook. It's viewing the world through that. So this is where the avos hein hein emarkava, the tzaddikim, this is, they totally make themselves into a markava. But he goes on, he says, but this is really be'etzem, the avoda of every single person. Now, but I'm not holding there. So what's my avoda today? I be'etzem, I'm a lowly person. This is not where I'm holding. And he brings from the Baal HaTanya, he says that even if the avos were holding on a level where they mamish were a merkava, but I'm a Kaili. I have my own personality. I'm not holding. However, he says, "Be'emes kein hu b'kol Yisrael b'shah she'oiskim b'tayro u'b'mitzvus rak she'ein anu margishim b'kach ne'chomer aguf shle nizdakech." While a person is engaged in Torah mitzvahs right now, it could be that for the rest of the day, my head is going to be in places that it shouldn't be, not even necessarily negative, but not engaged from looking at things through a Torah-dic approach. But right now, I'm fully engaged. The sum total of my head is talking about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, talking about Avoda. If you were to take a snapshot of my brain, I mean, halavai, I'm holding there, but I'm using an example. If you were to take a snapshot of a Yid's brain when he's fully engaged in Torah and mitzvahs, this is the sum total right now. Maybe not in a broader way is he a merkava, but at least while he's engaged in Torah and mitzvahs, so at that moment in time he's a merkava, and we want to work towards where we reform and revise and bring ourselves closer, and little by little, sometimes small steps are more effective even than big steps at making ourselves that we're going to be a merkava in the broadest sense possible. But at least while a person is engaged in Torah and mitzvahs and a relation and a moon and a relationship with the tzaddikim, that then we actually are fulfilling this idea of the actual creation. He goes on to say to be a dir tachtoinim. This is an expression of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in this world. This is the entire. We are mamish engaged in the purpose of the creation. He says of Adam and of the Bruim and of the Olamais and of mankind. It's just that we're not holding on the level where if we would understand this and we would see what it is that we're mamish establishing a divine throne, we'd be blown away. So therefore, you know, that'll be when by Olam Haba we don't feel it. We're not pure, our guf is not purified enough to understand the reality of what we're actually accomplishing. But when you go to Shacharis, this should be a big hisayris and a big chizuk to us that we're mamish. We're validating and creating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's a kli that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the world itself. V'al kein, chevan shechashdu begadlus, since they were choshed him with gaiva chavshu, they imprisoned him. Ki oinesh hagadlus hu tfisa, the way they're explaining it, perhaps we can say that godless, you're really your own worst enemy, you're holding yourself back. If his batlus and anava is limitless growth, unlimited potential for growth, because you can attach yourself to the Ein Sof and continuously growing forever, if you're going to try to have godless and fold avoda into your perception, then you're essentially holding yourself back. You can't be attach yourself to the infinite. K'mo shamar b'sein zokhan l'vrach of him, gei heges daito, a person has gaiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lower him, shenem v'im asurim bazikim, it's a pasuk in Eov, that it says that a person who's magbiyah himself, then he is going to end up asurim, held back, lashon of asur is held back, bazikim in chains. Nimtza she'oinesh hagadlus tfisa, v'alkein chavashuhu. Just to quote from Rav Chaim Kramer's note, he brings note 169 on page 394, says that the Gemara says that if one grows haughty, God will knock him down. Chazal learned this from the Pasuk in Iyov where we just quoted, he, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enthrones kings to reign forever and raises him. But if they are bound in chains, held in cords of affliction, he tells them of their deeds and their transgressions, and he explains, based on Rashi, that when raised by God, his kingdom is forever. When raised by his own haughtiness, he will be bound in chains. And therefore, if a person finds himself bound or imprisoned, let him know this is a punishment for having become haughty. I don't know if parenthetically we could say that if a person is experiencing like roadblocks in Avoda, maybe that's a good reason to have Cheshbon HaNefesh in terms of what his motivations are, but let's leave it. Amar Lahu, in order to prove that he was a Talmid Chacham, says, Ba'o minai o iba'i minaihu. He says, you ask from me or I will ask you a question. Why? A person who is gaiva, his chachma goes away from him. So he says, if you ask me something and I can't answer you, that will show that I was acting gaivadik. But he was saying I was acting appropriately, which means that the way that you approached me was gaivadik. I will ask you a question and maybe you can't answer me. Rav Chaim Kramer over here brings a note that they chose, they chose for him to ask them a question because it was a little bit of a safer path. Had they asked him a question, he answered, it would have shown for sure that he wasn't gaivadik. If he asked them a question and they couldn't answer, it wouldn't necessarily show he wasn't gaivadik. It would just show that they, you know, perhaps acted inappropriately more than the way that they should have. So, you know, depending what happened, it was a little bit of a safer path. Be that as it may, by minayu. So he asked from them. Haiman da cuts kufra my mashalim. Somebody who cuts down the budding date tree, it belongs to his neighbor, he has to pay damages. My mashalim, what does he have to pay? It was, he cut it down. Had he left it, it would have ripened. At this stage, it was not yet ripe, and therefore it should be worth less. But on the other hand, it would have been on its way to being worth more. In Pnimius, cuts kufra, person who cut down the budding date tree, but over here, who bechina shepogam ba'azis, a lashon of cuts, kufzadi, a lashon of cutting down, is a lashon of cutting or pegima. Kufra hu bechinas azus, and kufra, which is interesting because we'll see that azus, or engaging in negative azus, if azus the kedusha attaches one to the tzaddikim and leads to emuna, so the opposite of that azus, the negative type azus could lead to kfira, the opposite of emuna. Over here, kufra really is the root we're going to associate it with azus. Hu bechinas azus bechinas kolos k'mosh kasef ha'kfirim shayigim l'taraf, and it says that the kfirim, the young lions, roar after their prey. So we're associated with kolos, and this is going to be the negative azus, although it's interesting that we're putting the word kufra, which would seem to be a lashon of kfira, but the negative azus, it was what could lead to kfira. So Vishal, he asked them, my mishalei misha pagam b'zeh azus, what does a person have to pay, so to speak? What has to be fixed? The person who engaged in negative azus. He associated himself with the negative influences in the guf neshama context. That could be for personal taivas and the tzaddikim, the positive leadership context. Ve'yeshivu, they answered, mishalem kufra. He has to pay for what he damaged. K'mo yishapagam yishalem, that he has to, let's say, engage in anava, has to get close to the authentic tzaddikim. He has to make up whatever he damaged. Vishal. So he asked, v'hokahavi tamrei. But at the end of the day, tamri is a lashon of hamir, like a lashon of tmura. It's a lashon of to change. But it says, ki alidezesh, but over here it says that the kufra, the budding dates, would have become tamarim. It would have become dates. So by cutting down the kufra at the earlier stage, he was preventing them ultimately from becoming dates. So that's really a greater harm. Ki alidezesh pogum ba'azus, by virtue of the fact in Pnimius that this person was pogum ba'azus, he engaged in negative azus instead of the azus to kedusha. Yachal, it's possible now, it's indirect, it's not immediate, but by virtue of distancing oneself from tzaddikim and ultimately following the wrong leadership, yachal lavoy lekilkel emuna, it's possible that through the negative azus, instead of in cutting through the, like we said, cutting through the noise, so to speak, cutting through all of the immediate influences and attaching oneself to the truth, to the tzaddikim, to the shiva rayim, which will reinforce emuna, the chaysim yadayim, which protect the chaysim raglin. Over here, he's being diverted, and that's going to be moving farther away from emuna, which will also have a negative result from the gzera, because by disturbing the chaysim yadayim and not reinforcing the emuna, the chaysim raglin is going to get messed up. Vizet tamri, the idea of tamri, b'chinas ha-hemer goyalihim, va'ami hemer kvoidi. It's a lashon of, has a nation, Hamir has exchanged its gods, but my people exchanged, continues, kvoidi b'lo yoyol, is kvoid, honor, or glory, without any benefit. So by changing up priorities, allegiance, faith, as it were, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it becomes a lashon of the opposite of Amunah, so to speak, of Avodah Zarah, ve'shivu, so they agreed with Elazar Zeira, and they said, okay, Yishalim Tamri, if you're saying that A leads to B, so then by disturbing A, ultimately the consequence is going to be B. And therefore, if you're saying that they cut down Kufra, and that's going to lead to a loss of dates, or by engaging in negative Azus, now again, we use the Lashon over here of Yachal, that's going to be the opposite of Emuna, Kfira, so Avodah Zarah even, so Yishalim Tamri, K'moshe Magiyal, Kilka Emuna. We said many times, by the way, we associated Gaiva with Avodah Zarah and why that is. But over here, if it's going to come to a Kilka Emuna, so then that's what they're ultimately responsible for. The problem is, v'halloi hava tamri, but lemaisa, this person cut down kufrei, and he didn't cut down tamri, he cut down budding dates, and not dates themselves. Ki afal piche and adayin loy balik firus, it's possible. Like we said, yahal, it's not necessarily direct. Sometimes something has an immediate effect. Over here, it's one level removed. Yes, this person is not following is not going the direction of Azus to Kedusha, and he's distancing himself from Tzaddikim, but he is not yet engaged in Tamri, in being Hamir, in moving away from Amuna, in Avodah Zarah and Kfira, as it were, and therefore, how could this person be punished like that? This is similar, by the way. I mean, we see this threading throughout the Bria. This is how the question really was framed in terms of monetary damages as well. This person damaged a small parcel of land. How do we look at it? If we look at it in a very local way, then this is how much land is worth. If we look at it in a broader context, if you look at a 10 square feet in the middle of a million square feet, it's totally negligible, and that's what we said, b'shishim. B'shishim is the appropriate context in which to evaluate something. V'heshiv b'shishim. So he said, b'shishim, the way to look at this, at what was actually damaged, is in the context of shishim. That would be appropriate. Hainu gehenim shekola He's coming off a Gemara that goes through a calculation of how big the world is compared to Eden, compared to the Gan in Eden, compared to Gehenim. But be that as it may, the way that we're relating to it is that there's the Be'ibe Anachal, brought in Chaim Kramer's note 179 over here. He relates Nasa, Azus de Kedusha and Nishmat to three different types of punishments, Golos, Gehenim, and ultimately reincarnation. He says that they're for Kfira, for the opposite of Muna. A person either stays in Gehenim, Rachman al-Itzlan, or he's not going to be able to get into Gan Eden, so there's going to be reincarnation. Be that as it may, Gehenim is in the middle of Golos on one end, which we're going to explore right now. Golos, we had said earlier already that Tzaddikim make Shalom in the world. The opposite of Shalom is Pirut, is Machloikas, is Golos. In fact, the idea of Gullus is he brings over here also is not only the idea of being literally outside of Eretz Yisrael or subject to foreign rule in terms of the world, but it's actually, it denotes being ruled by evil characteristics of the host culture, the lust for money, immorality, other evil desires. This, they explain, is the real subjugation, the subjugation of the soul, so that one is distant from God. So we see that one leads to the other. Certainly, this seems to overlap with the idea of a negative Azus, of subscribing to the wrong leadership, to the wrong influences, but in principle, we're setting up this spectrum, as it were, between Golos, Gehenim, and then one who's not going to be able to get into Gan Eden, and therefore it's going to be either staying in Gehenim or reincarnation. And we're associating this with Nasa, Azus, Kedusha, V'Nishma. And over here, the question, the way that we're framing it is, what is the punishment or the consequence of negative Azus, of Azus to Kedusha? So Elazar Zeir says, well, on one hand, you can't say that it's the ultimate. We can't associate with Mamish Kfira with the ultimate punishment because it hasn't gotten there yet. On the other hand, to just say that it's Golos, to say that it's on the other end of the spectrum, so then, you know, it's going towards the ultimate negative goal, as it were, of Amuna, and therefore we look at it in the broader context, then it's in this middle ground of Gehenim. Also, well, okay, well, let's go a drop weiter. So he says, Gehenim shekol echad mishishim l'gehenim. Ki az panim l'gehenim, azus comes from a yisoid eish, the Shara Kedusha we've mentioned before in these tires that the midas are associated with eish, mayim, afar, and avir, and azus comes from a yisoid eish, so we're associating gehenim with eish. Ki anashim shall call it varim, hechlef Avram Avinu ala v'shalom. Avram Avinu, the Medrash points out over here, brings a Medrash Rabbah that Avram Avinu was presented with four things: gehenim, malchius, matan Torah, and Beis HaMikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him by the Bris Bein Abzarim, Kol Zman, that your children, that your Banecha, that Klai Yisrael is Asukin 2, that's Asukin B'Shtayim, meaning Tyre and Karbanos, then they'll be saved from the other two, Gehenim and Malchus. However, Avraham Avinu was told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that there will come a time when they're going to be deserving of punishment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, gave Avraham a choice. Rav Chinin Bar Papa said Avraham chose Malchus, Golus over Gehenim, and then there's a Machlekes over there. It says that the Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Idi, Bar Abchama, Bar Chanina, Amru Avram, Bar Gehenim, Vakadosh Baruch Hu, Bar Lois Amalchias, and it goes on. But we see in this interaction that Avram Avinu chose that Golus would be punishment and not Gehenim. Now, to explain this, Chaim Kramer brings the Be'ibe Ben Achal in the note 179, says, if instead of serving God, the Jews sin, this strengthens the Azus, the influence of the other side, Sitra Achra, which in turn gives the Azus the strength, if you are following the wrong influence, turn away from God. So it's giving that influence. What gives influence power? Following and subscribing to that influence. So this gives Azus the strength to further deter the Jews from serving him. As long as a person is in this world, he can use his holy Azus, we spoke about the Kailais and the Azus to Kedusha, to overcome the unholy Azus, to be able to cut through that. However, in Gehenim, where the Azus of the other side is manifested in the accusing angels, that exact punishment one cannot escape, there all his cries are to no avail. As the sages said, whoever does not work in this world cannot attain the next world. Therefore, Avram exchanged the spiritual punishment of Gehenim, where the sounds of holiness do not help, for the physical punishment of subjugation, for which the sounds of holiness can help. So it was much better to choose in this world, at least, even if we're in a period of darkness, as we're over here, a person can cut through and still access the tzaddikim and Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the kailais, through the azaz to kedusha, that will lessen the influence of the negative forces. But in Gehenim, a person doesn't have access. And he goes on, he says, whoever merits drawing close to the tzaddikim during his lifetime, thereby meriting the azus to kedusha, will after his passing be able to cry and pray for the tzaddikim to take him out of Gehenim. So longer conversation, but whatever we set up, the Mesillas Yesharim gives multiple examples. I think it brings three different examples from Chazal. This world is like a hallway, the next world is like the traklin. But one of them is that this world is like Erev Shabbos, the next world is like Shabbos. It's not just a arbitrary reward. Whatever you cook, whatever you put in the chalent, that's what you're going to get. What are we going to have in Olam Haba? Whatever we prepare in this world, if a person prepares an attachment to the tzaddikim in this world, sometimes it's hard. We have challenges. We're not always able to stick to those priorities and that clarity. But if a person establishes, he draws close an attachment to the tzaddikim in this world, so even in the next world, that attachment is intact, and therefore the tzaddikim will be able to take him out of Gehenim, out of the fall preceding the ascent. Okay, so we earlier also said you read it to the Zerach Aliyah, he'll be able to immediately reap the rewards of his work in this world. But someone who is brazen-faced, the negative Azus, and does not draw close to the tzaddikim will not be able to count on their merit to free him from Gehenim when he passes away. So Avraham Avinu chose the path of Golus over Gehenim. Having said that, he brings over here also from the Paparas L'Chachma, I can't say that I understand this exactly, so I don't want to impose, I don't want to impose sort of like, you know, reading myself into the words, but he brings over here that foreign rule corresponding to the domination of false leaders, which we just said, itself stems from the brazenness of the other side, so therefore the idea of Golus itself, the idea of negative forces itself, is essentially the negative Azus. Therefore, it's insufficient for a person who behaves with the unholy Azus to pay for his sin through the suffering which comes through being subjugated by the yoke of foreign rulers. So he seems to be saying, although I'm not sure, but I just want to read it and know that it's here, that even though Avraham Avinu chose the punishment of Golus, of being in exile as a punishment, but nevertheless, that's still a punishment for something else. If the exile itself is the negative Azus, that itself is the influence of of the foreign leaders, then that can't be the punishment for negative azus. So since the punishment would really be Gehenim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, gave Avram a choice to substitute it with Gullus in this world. But the Gullus in the world is the azus. That can't be the punishment for the azus. So that stayed in Gehenim. Okay, so be that as it may, let's just go back to the text. So we're reading these concepts into the story of Elazar Ze'ira, and Elazar Ze'ira is talking what happens when a person goes towards the negative azus. On one hand, it's on the path towards Kilkel Emuna. On the other hand, he has not gotten there yet, and therefore, what's the punishment? So it says over here, Gehenim. Ki az panim leGehenim ki anoshim shall call Avram hichlef Avram Avinu alav Hashalom al shibud malchias. Avram Avinu chose Gullus as a punishment. Ach einesh ha'azus nisha rak beGehenim. However, the einesh of azus remains subject to Gehenim. V'zeh shepogam ba'azus to kedusha al yedei azus panim sitra achra yishalem bashishim haynu beGehenim kanal. And therefore, the person that engaged in negative azus, so the punishment for azus is on a level of its own, other than separate from other averus, and therefore the punishment will be in Gehenim. So summing up the story, note 180 in Chaim Kramer, he says Elazar Ze'ira was a true leader who was humble. He had anava. He had attained Tiras Hashem, and he put on black shoes, symbolizing the damaged seal, the Chaisim Raglin, and went to the market in Ardaiz in a public place. Now the servants of the Reish Galusa saw him and said, "Why are you wearing black shoes?" He said that I'm in mourning for Yerushalayim, for the Kilkel Emuna, who's corresponding to the damaged Chaisim Yadayin, which we explained why the relationship between the Chaisim Yadayim and the Chaisim Raglin. But he said that once the outer seal of Emuna is damaged, the inner seal is damaged, and therefore Yerushalayim, carrying Amunah, relates to Amunah, since a person who engages in Avelus is rebuilding Yerushalayim and rebuilding Amunah, so he was engaged in Avelus. But they said, well, wait a second, if you're not holding there, then that's not really a Nava, that's actually Gaiva. Gaiva is what drives people, drives Klal Yisrael away. So they asked, are you so important that you can mourn in public? They now are potentially engaging in the Azus or the negative behaviors themselves, so they saw this as a public display of Anava, a public display is Gaiva rather, and they had him arrested, which we said, Asurim Bazikim, that's the punishment for Gaiva. But he said, no, I actually am holding there, I'm an Adam Chashev, it's Anava, I'm doing the right thing, and therefore I am rectifying the Amun of the people, as opposed to you who are questioning me, going against me, it's you. So now there was this conflict, and they were going to resolve the conflict, because Gaiva makes it that a person is going to forget his Torah, so he said, well, if you ask me a question, I can't answer you, that'll show that Gaiva. Or the other way around. So he gave them a choice whether or not they should ask him a question or he should ask them a question. And he ultimately asked them, they chose someone who cuts down, cuts kufra, has azus, has negative azus. He cuts down the budding date tree. What does he have to pay? What is the payment, the punishment for unholy azus? And he answers, they said he pays the price of date buds. That, in other words, he will repent. He will do tshuva for exactly what he did. But Elazar Ze'ira said, well, wait a second. The unholy azus, the negative azus, that's going to lead to a Kilkel Emunah. So shouldn't the consequence relate to what this is going to be in line to cause? And they said, okay, that makes sense. Let him pay the punishment for heresy, for a Kilkel Emunah, which is more severe even than Gehenim. It would be to stay in Gehenim, like we said, or not being going into Adam Habba, reincarnation. But he said, but he didn't take full-grown dates. Who said that he would have come to that level? And they said, so you tell us. And his answer was, pay a 60th, meaning that az panim le Gehenim. So now to finish up, this Torah was said, Naseres Yimei Tshuva, the Tuf Kuf Samach Hey, we're now going to tie together the idea of Tishrei and the Tu Chai Samais and Chodesh Tishrei, which is called Yerucha Isonim. Isonim is strong. Azus, Va'azus to Kedushu Bechinas Tishrei. V'al Kein Nikra Yerucha Isonim. The reason that Tishrei is called the powerful month, or the month of the powerful, the strong ones. Miloshin Takiflus, firm. Va'azus, Ki Az Tzayikim Yisrael, Kailais V'kol Shofar. Because in Tishrei we have the Kailais, the halacha brings down that even somebody davens quiet during the Yom Norum, a person can daven louder, but there's the Kail of the Shofar. Shea Kailais Kulam Heim Azus Kanal, it's this Azus HaKadusha that again attaches to the Tzadikim, which builds Emunah, which guards the Tu Chai Samais through the Al-Kain. Az Nechtemu V'Nisknu Shnei Chai Samos, through this we're able to build up and to solidify, to preserve the Tu Chai Samais. Chaisam B'Sai Chaisam. The Arizal brings that at the time of Ne'ilah, the holy time of Ne'ilah, the Tefillah of Ne'ilah, that's the inner Chaisam, that where it's going to preserve that there shouldn't be the chitzonim are going to be yoinek from the gzeirah. So this is a special time after a whole Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Me'etshuva, Yom Kippur, that we have we preserve the inner chaysem so that the chitzonim shouldn't be able to be yoinek off of that gzar, that there should be a mituk in the din. And after a sukkis, the we're in Selsid Hamnusa, the Shiva Rayim, right, the Yushpizin, the final day, the finale of Hashanah Rabbah, that's the outer chaysem, the Amuna, Ide Azaz the Kedusha Zoychem Le'amuna. So during Tishrei, we preserve both of these chaysamais, and through the Azus of Kedusha, through the Kailais from the Yom Noraim, we get to Amunah Shubachinas Chaysem Hayodayin, that ultimately preserves the inner Chaysem. Ba'idezah Zoichen Lekabel Musrim Imachiche Adar, and through this Amunah, we're able to receive the Teichacha, we're able to receive the rebuke, the guidance. That's how we're able to make ourselves into a Kli to be Makabel from the Tzadikim, Shezeu Bachinas Chaysem Raglin Kanal. That the Mechicha Adar, we said, are the Raglin, and they're the ones who are going to be master. They're going to, so to speak, keep the din under wraps so that the outside force is not going to be Yoinek. How are we able to preserve that inner Chaysem? Through Amunah, through our relationship with the Tzaddikim. That's the outer Chaysem that's built on top on by Hashanah Rabbah. Shehin Bechina Shnei Achisam is Chaysem is a Chaysem Kanal. We'll sum up in a second, just parting words, because it's late. Vizet Tishrei Begamatria Tishrei Yishtei Pam Chaysem. Chaysem is 454 times 2 is 908, adding the kailal, the one for the word itself. So Tishrei is 454, and then one for the word is 455, and then add the same thing, that's 910. So two chaysamais is the month of Tishrei in Gematria, im shtei teveis. V'alkein, but Tishrei simchas Yisrael, that by there's a simcha in Tishrei, not just on Sukkis and Hashanah Rabbah, but even in Rosh Hashanah, ki azus hu ayideh simcha kanal, like we said, that the azus, the kedusha, comes through simcha. There's a pasuk in Nehemiah says, "Ki chedvas Hashem himu uzchem," that the Tishrei, the Azus, leads to Simcha. V'gam emikra zeh nemra al Rosh Hashanah. By Rosh Hashanah, even though we're on trial, there's a Simcha associated with it. And Chag Sukkis is, we know that is Zman Simchasenu. So it comes out that in Tishrei, this corresponds to the two chaysamos that are perfected, number one, through the leaders, the tzaddikim, number two, through Amunah, and the Amunah, again, establishes our relationship, our connection with the leaders, so that they can do, they can fulfill this role of representing Klal Yisrael towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and also representing Kodesh Baruch Hu towards Klal Yisrael, and that Amunah in the tzaddikim is what allows that inner chaysam to be, so that the chitzonim are not going to be yoinek off the gzar din, and this relationship with the tzaddikim is reached through Azaz and Kedusha, which you come to through Simcha, which is Tishrei is the month of, it's the month of Din, is Yom HaDin and the Ila, but ultimately Sukkis is the Yom Tif of Zman Simchaseinu, but it's also that we sit in the Sukkah, it's also the time of Amunah, and therefore it all fits together. Just two closing points. Number one, he brings over here Rabbi Atiya, he brings this idea. It says Lafid Varenu B'tchilas Tairazu, we can explain this unbelievable idea that people go on Rosh Hashanah the Tzadik Hadar to receive the Teichacha, which is going to be the Chaysim Ragli Pnimi, and on Sukkos we get the Amunah from the Ashpiz, and again it all fits together. And he says Ubizeh Yuvan She Sichasai Shel Rabbeinu V'zeh L'Shein Rabbeinu Amar Mashet Tzadikim Acherim Poilim Bavodasim Me Rosh Hashanah Ad Hashanah Rabbah. This process that the Tzadikim are able to accomplish to be master of the Din by the Yom Naram, by the Yimei Din, by Rosh Hashanah, going through the Tefillah of Ne'ilah, which is the Chaysim Raglin, and ultimately Sukkis and Hashanah Rabbah, which is the Amunah, the outer Chaysim Poil Ani B'Layla Harishen Shel Rosh Hashanah Ad Kan L'Shono. Rabbeinu was able to accomplish this even at the start of it, the seeds, the day one, he was able to accomplish this on Rosh Hashanah. And this is the power of going to Rabbeinu on Rosh Hashanah. He says over here, V'lachein, hizir kol kachas anashav lovo elav Rosh Hashanah k'di lekabla b'menos hachaysamos halalu teichacha v'yamuna. So going in to protect ourselves, to bring a mituk in the din, so that Klal Yisrael will have a positive din, this is accomplished through these two chaysamos. So the last sort of summing up, not going to be nearly as long as our introduction, but I'm going to use again Rav Chaim Kramer's note, because he says it actually in a little bit of a different order. So the summing up, now that we have all of these pieces, he brings for a person to benefit from the exalted spiritual perception of his soul. Ultimately, what are we trying to do? Full integration. That our guf doesn't have its own independent identity, but that the neshama should be shining through the guf, that we're elevating the guf. A person should perform many mitzvahs maisias, mitzvahs with the guf. The guf, right, is going to be meshamesh the neshama. We're meshamesh the tzaddikim. The guf is going to serve the body. Likewise, a person himself should serve the tzaddikim, so that this is true, again, in a pratyistic way and in a klaliistic way. This transforms him into the concept of flesh vis-a-vis the tzaddik. So the guf corresponds to the neshama, the way that a person is going to correspond to the tzaddik. Now, in order to subdue the body's azus, the negative azus, the azus of the guf, or the azus of the false leadership, he says, how does a person do this? With the azus of kedusha. How does a person go towards the azus of kedusha? Through the kailais. And through the kailais, a person is able to break through the guf and also able to break through the negative influence to attach himself to the true leaders, to the shivarayim. And once a person has this, he's attached through amuna, he's able to receive the rebuke of the tzaddikim who themselves have achieved tairas Hashem. And in that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to these tzaddikim the forthcoming decrees, which are din taira. And the tzaddikim are able to reveal to the people in the form of teichach, in the form of rebuke, to be able to bring the people close, so that there could be a mituk and a din, and it won't open itself up to being yoinig from the chitzayim. It won't chas v'shalom, rachmana litzlan, be a negative din, but actually the decrees will be mitigated. However, there's another aspect of azus that we have to break through. This is the azus that we saw from the story about Lazarus either that could cause a kilkel in the amuna. This azus, whether we talk about the guf, which is a gross physicality, or whether we're talking about improper azus against Torah and God-fearing people, the people who are against the tzaddikim, this creates an echo. So there's all this noise, and a person is almost incapable of differentiating between the sounds of kedusha and not kedusha, which becomes so misleading that a person could even be trying to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and he's really going in the wrong directions. How does a person break through the noise and come to the holy azus? This is through simcha, this is through joy, this is through the concept of nasa v'nishma, the concept of Torah and tefillah, Torah is Hashem and tefillah is Hashem, and this joy, which is going to lead to the azus kedusha, so that to lead to the MS, to not get confused by the echoes, by the negative azus. So how is that achieved? Through Yira. We explained already at length why Yira precedes Simcha. This Yira is synonymous with humility, with humbleness. We explained Bereishis, Yarei Baishas, Yerushalayim, Kiryan Amona, Tefillah. When a person achieves this true joy, this Nasa V'nishma, he rises to a higher level, and he's able, in an iterative process, he transforms each Nishma into Nasa. He's able to incorporate within himself. He's able to grow closer and closer and closer to the Ein Sof. He says, and whereas holy boldness, azus kedusha, construction, perfects faith, the unholy brazenness, the negative azus, that leads towards kfira. So we saw that the nasa v'nishma, the azus kedusha, and the nishma, and this on the negative side, rachman al-islam, this corresponds to galus, to gehenim, and to a person reincarnation. We saw that a person's not even going to be able to get in. So he says, how does a person differentiate between the sounds of holiness and the sounds of the other side? In order to subdue the negative azus, a person has to daven and daven again, because davening corresponds to nishma, and the more a person attaches himself to nishma, so then they're going to be able to incorporate the nishma into nasa and grow level until they reach tiras Hashem and tefillas Hashem, and they're able to negate oneself. We explained in avoda through his batlas, through anava, then a person is able to break down their own barriers and be mevatel himself towards the Ein Sof, towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to grow. But when a person has the gaiva, it's exactly the opposite. There, instead of yielding and being mevatel himself towards Torah, avoda, towards the MS, towards the tzaddikim, towards building amuna, towards the outer chayisem, instead it's actually the opposite. They're limiting themselves by themselves, and they bring everything within. They become the outer limits of whatever they can reach. That's gaiva, that's the opposite. That's kfira, that's the smacks of avoda zara. But if a person can do this, they'll be spared, Emet Hashem, from the punishment of Gehenim, and they'll merit all the rewards of Gan Eden, which corresponds to Nishma, to Tefillas Hashem, and therefore they're negating themselves to the Ein Sof. Each person attaining the highest level that he's capable of, bringing peace and blessing and abundance and Shefra to the world. He's coming back to, as the Sefer Tznius states. And we could just leave off from what we had mentioned from Rav Moshe Shapira from the very beginning of the Shir, that Ezeu ben Olam Haba,
We're not talking about Olam HaZeh versus Olam Ahu, that world, something that we're disassociated with, but rather, even though we don't necessarily appreciate it until we get to a different state of being, but we're a person who's a Ben Olam Haba, is a Ben Olam Haba now, as if you want to look up, just one thought, the Gemara in Tainus says, it says that there were two brothers in the marketplace, and Eliyahu Hanavi said to Rav Roika that these people are B'nai Alma, these people are B'nai Alma Da'asi, these are B'nai Olam Haba. So Rav Roika went over to the men, and he said to them, we are jesters, we're badchanim. Sorry, one second. Inish midoychianon mivadchinon atzive. And when people are sad, we cheer them up. What's a ben oilam haba? Simcha. It starts this process again. Azas kedusha emuna. It mitigates the decrees that a person is able to take to bring a mituk to the din and attach to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Inami ki chazinim betray de islu tigra badaya. We see people fighting. Terchinin vavdin aluhu shlama. When people are fighting, we bring shalom. We bring peace. So simcha and shalom. This is exactly the ideas that we associated earlier with the tzaddikim and was associated with the tzaddikim, and Bezer Hashem, the more you look, it's just everything fits together into one picture. You can find the MS. It's just a question of finding a window into the MS. We will finish up the there's a few pieces at the end, just an appendix to the Torah. We'll finish them up next time, but Baruch Hashem, Hadron Alach, Torah Chaf Beis. Maybe we'll try to do the Kitzur together as well. But it was a long Torah, I think very rewarding, and the Mircham will come back to it.